And to the Republic
for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you both. Sorry, I threw a curveball at everyone there. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Hess.
Here.
Commissioner Felix Lopez.
Here.
Commissioner Luis Lopez.
I am here. And our agenda, are we good to go?
Good to go, Commissioner.
Your motion, please.
Motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez.
Yes.
Commissioner Hess.
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez.
Yes. Item two, employee evaluations. Mr. Dornkamp.
Commissioners, the board had requested a work session be set up to discuss the potential to do employee evaluations. And with that, I open the floor to discussion.
Okay, if I recall correctly, we wanted to have this work session so we can get some feedback from our other elected officials, if I remember correctly. So do we have any anyone from the clerk's office on the line? Anyone from the assessor's office?
Yes, I am here trying to get unmuted. I'm trying to get caught up to speed here. Are we discussing like having evaluations for pay raises? Is that what we're guiding toward or moving toward?
I'm not sure, Commissioner, if I can chime in. I'm not sure that is what's being discussed. I guess potentially there may be an opportunity where we do, I can't remember what the terminology is, but based upon seniority and evaluations, how employees would receive pay raises. But I think this discussion is more in line with whether or not we even want to venture down that road. And if we think it's something worth pursuing, and that is to evaluate employees.
It's not about you, can't drink without thinking about you. Is it too late to tell you that everything means nothing if I can't have you?
Okay,
I got this view, but I might as well be in a hotel.
Okay. That is not me, gentlemen. I'm not quite sure where that came from.
One of our kids at school must have pranked us.
Oh, how anyway, wonderful.
Back to add on to what Mr. Dornkamp said, it's just a discussion with elected officials regarding whether it would be annual or biannual evaluations of our staff from their elected officials' offices and how they felt about that, doing that. And moving forward, I think Felix in the past has mentioned some different ways that the state's done it, and we are interested in pursuing conversation to see what's going to happen or how we would move forward even if we did something like that. And also, just for, I don't know if anybody's on the call for the DHS, Michael Aragon is implementing a pilot program, basically to do a trial run on evaluations of some sort. So if that helps in any way, Jody. Felix, do you want to elaborate?
Sure, Jody. So the idea of an employee evaluation is basically to measure performance of employees, and you're absolutely correct. I think it could even eventually, should we get stabilized funding, I mean, that could be used for the assessment of an employee's advancement within their positions. And, you know, it gives an opportunity to do basically desk audits, communication with supervisor on a scheduled regular basis. And again, as Commissioner Lopez says, you know, one of the things that we would have an opportunity to do would be basically have the conversation ongoing openly, and then
provide both feedback from the employee to the supervisor and vice versa, kind of assessing the whole operation, you know. And then, of course, as you know, I spent my majority of my career in higher ed, where evaluations are pretty common, even in years that funding was not available. That always created a platform that maintained that communication on the professional level, but it also monitored the performance of any and all employees.
I mean, currently, I don't see any problem. I don't feel that I would have any problem with doing employee evaluation. And this is going to be for, is this just for elected officials' offices, or is this for all county employees?
So the idea would be, again, you know, as Luis mentioned, right now, DHS is interested in running a pilot program. It would be probably, you know, the idea would be to have it for all employees countywide.
Commissioners, just to let you know that Michael Aragon has chimed in on the chat. He just said that he's here on behalf of DHS. Just to let you know, I'm assuming he doesn't have audio.
I do. I'm here.
Okay. Yeah.
So if I can just jump in real quick, commissioners, regarding the pilot, and hopefully this might explain some of why we're doing it here. As Commissioner Felix Lopez pointed out, it's really at the point of, you know, we look at doing equitable pay raises when stability in the funding is there. Part of my concern with DHS in the past has been providing pay raises to staff who we should be working with to elevate to a different professional level. We oftentimes see morale issues within organizations that fall because there's an inequitability in that distribution of the pay raise per the performance of an employee versus somebody who is performing at a higher standard. And so this is a way for us to gauge where we need to better support our staff members that are not meeting that criteria so that they are eligible for those pay raises when they become available. It also helps to, as Commissioner Lopez mentioned, it gives us a baseline to work from on a professional level to keep them informed of where they're excelling and where there are areas, and oftentimes it's not an individual perception, it's oftentimes a concern amongst many staff where there's either a process or a procedure or a policy that's not sufficient to help support that growth. And so then that, as a leader, is where we have to step in and identify, do we need to make changes to a policy or to a procedure, and how do we effectively do that? It's really about looking at trends with staff to ensure that we have everything to support them in their job and their ability to overcome obstacles that they encounter on a daily basis. So we're really looking at it from that perspective. The other piece of the pilot is that we're looking at it from a completely different perspective in the sense of how evaluations are conducted. I think in my experience in the past, evaluations that I've had done, they're oftentimes given to me as, these are the areas of concern that we see in you, these are areas that you need to work on, and they're not always a positive experience for a lot of people. The way that I conduct my evals, and I've been already working with my supervisors doing their evals this week, is really taking a focus on what areas they're truly excelling in, what areas are their concerns, and then establishing goals or opportunities to help them overcome those areas that there are concerns with. And it's really about them identifying their own personal areas that they want to grow in. And so it's really not about pointing out the issues or the areas of concern. It's really about pointing out, these are areas of weaknesses, these are areas of strength. Are these areas that you identify as being a concern? And if so, what goals do we need to set to help you overcome that to be better prepared to deal with the situations or the job at hand?
Okay, thank you for that explanation. That does sound like a good plan. I don't see why my office I don't see any reasons at this time why we wouldn't participate.
And Jody, if I may, real quick also.
Can I chime in for like just a second? And I hate to keep reiterating this fact that other offices have the staff and the time to evaluate that stuff. but I don't think that it needs to be on paper. I believe as Joseph Messis is my supervisor, or underneath me as supervisor of the office, he can evaluate, and I would agree with once a year, but we really don't have the time to sit down and put it on paper. We can just judge. We can not judge. That's the improper word, but we can look and see who's doing what they're supposed to be doing at the time they're needing to be doing it. So is this going to be across the county as a whole? Because I would not agree to anything more than twice a year, and that would be under Joseph. Does that make sense?
And Peach, you know, I think, you know, absolutely your comments are well taken. That's why we're having this this conversation. If we wanted to engage in this thing, it's going to be basically an opportunity when you're talking about not having it in black and white. One of the good tools that an evaluation process really has, it leads to succession planning. And I know higher ed is totally a different perspective and a totally different entity than county government. But one of the things, you know, when it came to a promotion, when it came to any type related with HR, up to even some of the terminations, evaluations kind of become the guiding light as to, you go back and read the history, whether it's the current supervisor or a new supervisor that comes into play, then you have all the history on that employee, and vice versa, the employee makes some comments. You know, if I were the supervisor, I would be working on this whole thing, you know. But I think it to me, has been a very beneficial tool in a sense of communication. And it doesn't have to take, you know, 2 hours, 15, 20 minutes. And the communication, like you say, Ms. Vigil, you're going to be in contact with those employees on a daily basis, so you know exactly who and who's not meeting that performance.
And respectfully, Commissioner Lopez, we just don't have the time to sit there and do that because we're trying to accommodate the public in the current midst of COVID. And, you know, we're trying to make appointments, and having to walk everybody back and forth is just a complete waste of our time, respectfully said. I believe that when one of my staff members has their appointment available, because I'm telling you, dealing with the public is half the time they schedule an appointment and they don't show up. And so it's just a cause of concern because I've been here for, you know, a hot minute. I've been there, done that for a long time, not appointments specifically, but it is a complete waste of our time to have to escort people in and out of the courthouse. And the other thing is, from what I understand, is that the district judge refuses to comply. And so when we get people into the courthouse for whatever business they have on the third floor, they think that they can just walk in, and it's an inconvenience on our impossibility to fucking, excuse my language. It's outwards of our possibility to accommodate them because they're walking down from the third floor and they think that they can just walk in and get paid. And it's not fair. If the county or the district judge is not going to comply, how do we accommodate them and then turn people away? And because we can't do it. We're on appointment only, and that's the other issue about escorting back and forth. So if the district judge does not want to comply, she has the highest office in the courthouse, for sure. But if she can't comply with what you as the board decide, we cannot take the feedback from my office and then us get in trouble for not accommodating. And it's getting ridiculously out of control.
Ms. Vigil, thanks for that. I think we're getting off topic here from the employee evaluations to what the courts are doing. And I believe Ms. Travis can address that and Mr. Dornkamp with the courts. We didn't know that was a concern, or I didn't know that was a
concern. I didn't either. I just found about this days ago.
So I think we can have them do that. But also, Kim Chavez did tell me that during the COVID and the ADA and all the stuff that we have to do, we have to comply to make concessions for
that is correct.
Constituents. So by the waste, the total waste of time that we're having to do escorting people in and out.
Excuse me, Commissioner Lopez, the waits of time are different in my office than any other because people want their plates. They need their plates. They need to get registered and titled. And so we can't.
But I believe we're under law that we have to comply to accommodate them. That's what I'm trying to say. And Kim, could you reiterate? You told me that last week we have to make, whether they have to be outside or.
I can chime in a little bit. So we have to accommodate the public if they're refusing to come in with a mask. But right now we're in a soft opening and everybody has to have appointment only, which we have to also accompany them in and out or else we'll have everybody all over the courthouse floors. Today we had 4 screeners start. So we have a total of 5 screeners. That 5th screener is going to be walking the halls and making sure that the court people are not wandering into the 2nd and 1st floor offices who don't have an appointment.
And you're right. And I believe it is off topic of what we're talking about today, but it's still an issue because they are trying to wander into my office when they come downstairs from the 3rd floor. And when we say we can't accommodate you because you don't have an appointment, the public gets mad.
So the public has to understand that that's our rule right now, and they need to make an appointment, and our front screeners are telling them if they don't have an appointment, they can't come in. And I thought we resolved that issue with closing the doors to where they're not allowed into, and we have the signs that say, please do not enter without permission.
Okay, well.
Can I comment further?
Because we didn't post that conversation. Regarding
Louise, yeah. This is Christy. Maybe we should actually put an advertisement in the paper to say what we're doing and everything. Maybe that might be helpful. Do you think?
I think
maybe Christy, but not so much. I don't know how many people other than the elderly actually read the newspaper.
Maybe the radio.
We could do a press release where it gets out to everywhere. The
Facebook,
the radio.
No, everybody right now is on Sirius Radio or Pandora or something like that. That's not, nobody listens to the radio. And if they do, they don't hear it correctly. And if they read it, they don't read it correctly. I'm just telling you from experience. It's
Facebook.
We could do Facebook. We could do everything that we can, but the public does not listen. They don't. They only know who they want to vote for, and that's all they're intended for. And I'm being truthful.
Well, let's please get back on topic regarding employee evaluations. And what you said earlier, Pete, that you would have a difficult time doing it twice a year with the time frame. Is that what you're saying to us?
That is what I'm saying, at least for this year. Maybe next year, but again, we have municipalities and towns who are trying to coordinate because if they cannot conduct their own election, then they have to coordinate with us. And I'm sorry for the public, but election day is not just one time a year. It's year round. We are constantly on task maintenance and list providence and everything else that we have to do. And so that it just makes it more difficult because I am short as far as staff.
I think going back to the initial conversation of employee evaluations, Ms. Vigil, this is not something that would start immediately right now, as we really appreciate the leadership of Mr. Aragon saying that he understands the process and he's willing to go through a pilot program. And this is going to be an ongoing communication, as you say, perhaps in the next calendar year. But this is a communication that we want to capture everyone's comments, everyone's perspective. And definitely the idea would be to just have the communication ongoing.
I agree completely. But like I said, I've been in this game for a minute and I've seen how things have transpired from day one when I started 20 years ago and to what has evolved until now, and times have changed. So I'm trying to do the best that I can to make everything work. And I thank Joseph Messes for sure for making all of those things possible. But I know from experience that employee evaluations, I would agree to twice a year. That's my point.
I'm sorry, guys. I got thrown off the call. I just got on and I missed some of that. But I have a quick statement on that where I think it might be helpful for commissioners in the future, not so much now because we don't have the funding, but if we were to have the funding available to assist elected officials in pay increases for those staffs that have these evaluations, as a commissioner, and I'm only here 4 more years, and hopefully years from now, this might be able to assist those commissioners in making those decisions for increases in pay. So if we have documentation, I think it would be an added tool or resource to evaluate or to deny or to agree to increases for our staff. So just a thought.
Commissioner Lopez, I agree with you. Before I was interrupted, I would like to finish my thought that I think once or twice a year evaluations, something written down, and I'm grateful that DHS is going to run a pilot program. Hopefully we can see the pros and cons of their pilot program, but I think it is beneficial going into the future so we can maintain staff, maintain educated, qualified, and dedicated staff. I don't see any reasoning, even with our busy schedule, why we couldn't handle evaluations at least twice a year. I think it's something definitely worth looking at, and I appreciate you gentlemen for looking into this.
Ms. Monroe, I'd like to add to that. This is Michael. One of the pieces that we're doing as far as the twice a year, we're actually piloting where we're establishing kind of a general guideline on the areas of excellence and the areas of concerns with the staff, and then we're working on developing those goals to help facilitate growth over the year, and then we do a mid-year review where we check in to see how those goals have been accomplished or if they're in process of being accomplished, and if not, it's a way for the supervisors to also be accountable to the staff because they are the ones that need to support that growth in that process, and so it also holds us accountable to ensure that we're doing our job for our staff. And then at the end of the year is where we do the final eval and we give a final rating and an admission of the goals that we've completed. And then we look to plan for the next year. So it's a little bit of a process, but I think the other piece I'd like to add to that is that, and Commissioner Luis Lopez, you had said about support in pay, but I think my other concern would be that we do some training around how to conduct these evaluations so that staff feel comfortable in doing them and supported in doing those. So that they don't feel like they're going into it blind and not having the support or the knowledge base to conduct those effectively to get the best results. So that's another piece that I think is vitally important that as a county we would need to do is support the elected officials and the supervisors or directors in understanding how to conduct those evaluations.
As a tool, this is Tony, and as a tool, I can see that this would be very beneficial, and we used it in the Colorado Farm Bureau. We did use it to identify each individual's strengths and weaknesses, and they could get the adequate training that they needed in those areas that they faltered in. And this is a great tool in my opinion.
I will add that
we have anyone from Donna. Leonetti, are you on the call, Donna?
No, so very busy.
Yes, I'm here. Right now, too, I personally don't have the time to do this. And besides, I only have 2 employees, so I'm really understaffed right now to even think about it. But like maybe Jody said, once or twice a year wouldn't be bad. But that's my opinion.
Thank you, Ms. Leonetti. Any other elected officials office on the call they'd like to comment?
Peach again, and I agree. I will agree to twice a year, and that's about that all we can accommodate because of all the different functions that my office performs. Marriage, motor vehicle, liquor, elections, recording. We just don't have the staffing or the time, and we would truly love to accommodate those people who are doing it. But we can do that by physical evaluation. But if you want it on paper, that I'll agree to that. But not more than twice a year. If that's my opinion.
Thank you, Mrs. Behill. How about from staff? Do you have any comments from administration office? Kim?
The only thing that I'd like to reiterate now that we have the electeds and the department heads on the phone was CTSI, they weren't against evaluations, but they were against one department specifically doing evaluations on their own. They suggested we either all do them or none. So I do understand that we're understaffed and evaluations take some time, but I also worry about the morale, the favoritism, and the raises. If we start giving raises instead of across the board, like we have been for the past 15, 20 years, we start giving raises to a select few, I feel we may get ourselves into liability troubles. But that's my opinion, and that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Kim.
I would just like to.
Go ahead.
It's Paula. I think I must have missed something. Are we planning on doing this more than twice a year? Both the ladies that said that they don't have time to do it are agreeing to do it twice a year. But I didn't, maybe I just haven't read the documentation right, but because I didn't think it was going to be like once a month or something.
I think it's yet to be determined, Paula. And traditionally, Felix, what would the state do? Would it be an annual or biannual? Or how would that to the state
yeah,
do?
No,
how
it's pretty much you do basically the mid-year evaluation, and then you do the final evaluation. Now, obviously, a lot of the directors chose to do it quarterly. They chose to do it even more often, but I think the recommended format, and we'll see from Mr. Aragon, one of the things that it's basically twice a year. That's what pretty much a standard model carries. And then let me also add this thing, as far as there is a formula that is tied into evaluations, and I think Mr. Aragon alluded to it earlier. If you have a meritorious employee, there is a percentage that goes with that. If you have a competent, less than meritorious employee, there it is. So the metrics, there is a rubric that runs with this whole thing. And at the end of the day, 99.9% of the employees end up getting an increase if we have stabilized funding mechanism. Everybody gets an increase, but it's not equally the same across the board. And when the rubric is 100% basically proven, the metric is going to yield what percentage, say 5%, this is what we're going to put to category one, category two, category three. So at the end of the day, those dollars are distributed in a very equitable fashion. And then it also yields the areas, as Mr. Aragon said, you know, here are the areas of improvement. Here are some of the areas where you exceeded. So I find evaluations to be very equitable and fair in the years that I have had dealt with them. And I think that's exactly what we're gonna see once Mr. Aragon has a pilot program, you know, year one, and then we'll assess it. Was this a good exercise? Was it not a good exercise? And then we'll make a determination at that point in time.
And one other question I have for all either Christy or Felix, when implementing programs like this, have you seen, or is there grants available to help offset some of the expenses that our elected officials will incur with the time it takes to do the evaluations? Is that a possibility out there?
You know, I'm not aware of any, Luis. Part of the merit pay plan that the higher education always had, we set up certain dollars in there, basically A, to pilot a program, and B, the pot of money that was going to be distributed amongst all the employees. You know, if but as far as a grant, I'm not aware of that, so I yield to Christy.
I'm not aware of any.
Okay, and I only asked for one reason, is because we are, what we did this morning in our board meeting regarding 2024 resolution for the ballot measure, if we have that passed, wanted to see if there was some funding available out there, or we can budget for it if that ballot measure passes. So we wanted to plant that seed. Any other comments from anybody?
This is Peach, and as far as the county is concerned, there are no more available grants than we've already funded. So we're done for the year as far as grants go. And I would like to say, well, Kim, respectfully, I don't believe in across the board giving everybody the same raise, because based on that employee evaluation, some do deserve more than others. I respect the union as much as possible, but some perform better than others, and that's the way that it needs to work. Because if I want to give two of my people a raise because they're performing a higher standard, that should be my decision. It shouldn't have anything to do with union. I get what you're saying, Kim, but I don't believe that everybody is deserving more than another unless they are performing.
And I understand that, but you probably should make sure that you have all your documentation before you start giving more raises to the rest, is all I'm saying. So maybe it is a good thing if you're going to evaluate and have everything in writing.
Okay, and respectfully so, I will do that. And I agree to two times a year. This is the point of the conversation. Let's do employee evaluations for twice a year, but no more than that.
Yeah, and Mrs. Vigil, I think that was Felix's point, was to have that evaluation process so you can justify who is deserving of a certain increase and who maybe would be less of an increase, where they needed some places in their job performance to improve. And like Mr. Aragon's pilot program is going to hopefully shed some light on for the county moving forward. I don't think we're going to implement anything at this time. We just wanted some feedback and input. And also, you know, you might want to talk to your staff guys, everybody, how they feel about it. Because if somebody is excelling in their workforce and everybody gets a raise and somebody's carrying the workload for somebody else, it's a double-edged sword on what is fair and what is not fair. But if you have it documented, you have it documented, you have it in writing, then you can justify the decisions
then
you made. Right.
I agree with the pilot program. Let's do it. Let's let DHS handle it and pilot it, and let's go forward.
Okay. Very well. Thank you. Any other comments or questions, Raymond? Okay, thanks everybody for getting on the call. We'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Thank you. Yes. I appreciate all the dialogue.
All right.